بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم إن الله لا يظلم مثقال ذرة We have been talking about the justice system of in Islamic beliefs and the fact that we believe that Allah is just. And before we start talking about certain aspects related to this Islamic belief, you need to understand that there are two fundamental things. The Hasan and the Qabih. Initially we need to understand that the good and the bad are proven by the human intellect. That means Hasan and Qabih are ugly things proven by the human intellect. It's very important to understand that what is good and what is bad can be understood by the human intellect in the initial level. Of course, not on the high levels, there are limitations to human intellect, but in the initial levels, the human intellect is able to understand what is good and what is bad. And because of that, the human being becomes empowered to believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever he performs is nothing but justice. So initially we need to understand what is good and what is bad out of our aql. And that's how we can talk to those who do not believe in the Sharia. That's how we can prove that Hasan and Qabih, the good and bad things, are shar'an, Islamically, in the eyes of the Sharia, in the eyes of the code of Islamic law, the good and the bad are also considered to be good and bad. Whatever the human intellect calls to be good and bad is also good and bad in the eyes of the Islamic Sharia and code of law, because we have already proven it by the human intellect. So we got to understand that the good and bad of the things are intellectual. That means our human intellect is able to understand, and that's how we prove the good and bad of the Islamic Sharia, and that's how we prove that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us mukallaf, liable to do certain duties. As soon as we reach the age of Islamic maturity, we are liable to do certain duties. Otherwise, it would be unfair to oblige us to do duties. That's how, because of the fact that we understand good and bad through our intellect, that's how we are empowered to realize that there is one God who is just. That's how we are empowered to realize about the prophethood, because it's out of the justice of God that he is going to provide guidance through his prophets and representatives, prophets and imams, the representatives of God. So that's how we will be empowered to realize there has to be a day of judgment, because it's we have already proven the good and bad through intellect, and it's intellectually bad and condemned. The criminals are allowed to escape without punishment, and the good doers are not subjected to a fair treatment according to what they deserve. So the entire concept of oneness of God and the prophethood and the day of judgment rests on the phenomena that we believe that human intellect is empowered by Allah himself to distinguish between Hasan and Qabih, to distinguish between what is good and what is bad intellectually, and that's how we can prove the Hasan and Qabih in the eyes of the Sharia as well, the good and bad in the eyes of the Sharia as well. Today's discussion is focused on two points. The first is about the fact that any Qabih, any condemned any bad act, any condemned act, is impossible to be performed by Allah. That's the first point of our discussion. And the second point of today's discussion is, it's impossible that Allah may oblige anyone to perform any action which is out of his reach, out of his scope, out of his ability to perform, which we call taklifu ma la yutaq, obliging somebody to perform anything which is out of his reach, out of his strength, out of his ability, and that is impossible and unacceptable by human intellect, and impossible and unacceptable by the Sharia as well, which is our second point of discussion today. So, coming to the first point, that qabih action is impossible to occur and happen from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Qabih and condemned, qabih and bad, any bad or condemned action is impossible to occur from Allah, to happen from Allah. First of all, we need to understand that every action that Allah performs, there is a gharaz, there is an aim behind it. Allah never performs actions without an aim, without a goal. Because doing actions without a goal is abas, is useless, and unwise. And God, being all wise, having the absolute wisdom, never performs anything which is unwise and useless. I repeat, doing actions without an aim or without a goal is useless, purposeless, aimless, and unwise. And God, being all wise, never performs anything which is unwise, and never performs anything which is purposeless and aimless. So, we understand by our human intellect that God, being all wise, always has aim and goal behind every action that he has performed and he performs. Yes, the gharaz, the aim and goal does not return back to him, because he doesn't need nothing from anybody. He does not stand in need of anything. He is needless. He is above and beyond need and ihtiyaj. He is not muhtaj. He is not in need of anything. The aim and goal, the benefit of any action that he performs, returns back not to him. It returns back to the wisdom behind it. It returns back to the humanity, and the goals that he's pursuing return back to the benefits and wisdoms behind those goals, and or the benefits that return back to the humanity themselves, or the creations themselves. Having said that, we come back to the point that every action that Allah performs, the first point of our discussion, every action that Allah performs is good, and it cannot be qabih, it cannot be bad or condemned. None of his actions are qabih, that is bad or condemned. The reason why we believe in that none of his actions are qabih, none of his actions are bad or condemned, is because the waiver is available, and the cause is unavailable. What do we mean, the waiver is available and the cause is unavailable? The waiver that waives Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala away from bad and qabih actions is the ilm and knowledge about that action being qabih and bad. When you have the knowledge, when you know that it's something which is qabih and condemned and bad, you are not going to do that. That's the waiver. The knowledge about the reality of anything that it is bad, that knowledge about the actual fact and reality of the, you know, about of that thing. When you know the real truth that it's bad, it's condemned, you're not going to do it. The reason why we humans do the crimes, the bad things, the sins, because we really don't know how we are messing up with our soul. We really don't know. If we knew, we would never do a sin. So for Allah, there is ilm bil qubh. Allah has the knowledge about every single action, whether it is good or bad. So all those things which are bad and qabih, Allah has absolute knowledge. So this knowledge about the reality of the thing being bad is available, which is a waiver for Allah. And so the waiver is there, and the cause is unavailable. The cause, what do we mean by cause? The cause for doing a qabih and bad action is either ihtiyaj or hikmat. Either the need or the wisdom. Anybody who wants to do a qabih action, a bad action, it's either because he needs to do it, he has some need that he wants to fulfill, or there is a wisdom behind a qabih and bad action. As far as the these are the two possible causes for Allah or for anybody to do. But since we are talking about Allah, that's why I would say Allah. So these are two causes, possible causes. Allah, God forbid, may do a qabih and bad action. But as far as the ihtiyaj, the first possible cause is concerned, the need is concerned, God is not needy. He does not stand in need of anything. So the first possible cause is impossible to be there in Allah. And the second possible cause is hikmat. And again, hikmat means wisdom. Wisdom is also impossible to be a cause for Allah to do any bad and qabih action. Because a qabih and bad action is always void of wisdom and hikmat. There is no wisdom in the qabih action. So when there is no need and ihtiyaj for Allah, Allah doesn't stand in need of anything, and there is no wisdom behind any condemned and bad action either, so the cause is not there. And the waiver is there. The waiver is the knowledge about the bad thing being bad. Because God is all-knowing. He knows the reality of everything. So when the waiver is there and the cause is unavailable, there is no reason for us to believe that that God can perform any qabih or bad action. This is purely logical and intellectual evidence. It's nothing to do with Quran and Hadith. Although Quran and Hadith support the same phenomena that God never performs a bad action, but we are right now talking in the logical sense, logical evidence about that. So, we believe in the justice belief of Islam, we believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never performs any qabih action, never performs any bad action. And the logic behind that is that, first of all, Allah performs all the deeds with an aim and goal. Not that He stands in need of that goal, but because the benefit of that goal returns back to His creatures. He doesn't stand in need of no benefit. And Allah never performs any qabih or bad action because the waiver, that is the knowledge about being bad, is already available. He knows the realities of all things. And the cause for doing a bad action, possibly, is unavailable. And that cause is either need, ihtiyaj, zarurat, ihtiyaj, need, or wisdom. Wisdom is not possible to be available in behind any bad action, and need is impossible. possibly be accepted for Allah, the Creator, the Lord. Allah doesn't stand in need of nothing. Everything stands in need of Him. Okay? So, this is about the first part, that Allah, it's impossible to believe that Allah performs any kabih action. It's impossible to, to believe that kabih and bad action can be, can happen and can occur from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In addition to what I just said, we must realize as well and keep in mind that every kabih action is zulm and injustice as well. And since every kabih action is zulm and injustice, zulm on it in its own turn, zulm is also performed for our, our scholars of the beliefs, Ilm al-Kalam have mentioned that zulm is performed for four possible reasons. Every kabih and bad action is zulm and injustice, and zulm and injustice is performed for four possible reasons, and all four are impossible to accept about Allah. So He never performs any zulm and injustice, so He never performs any kabih or bad action. What are the four possible reasons that compel a person to do zulm and injustice? The first, jahl, ignorance. And God is all-knowing. He's not jahil, He's not ignorant, He's all-knowing. So there is the first reason for doing zulm and injustice is impossible for Allah. The second possible reason for someone to do zulm and injustice is again ihtiyaj and need, because a person who performs zulm, one of the possible causes is that he stands in need of something which he wants to acquire, and he is unable to acquire his goal. He stands in need of that thing. He is unable to acquire without doing the zulm and injustice. So that's why he performs the unjust. He does the zulm and injustice because he stands in need and he wants to fulfill his need through doing that injustice. Again, this ihtiyaj and need is also unacceptable for God. God does not stand in need of anything. So, the second possible reason for doing injustice and zulm is also not there for Allah. The third possible reason for doing zulm is ajz. That means weakness. Somebody who is weak, is unable to reach the goal, achieve his target without doing zulm and injustice. Ihtiyaj, the second was need, and the third is ajz and weakness, inability to achieve without doing the zulm. Again, God is not ajz, He is not weak, He has no weakness, He is all powerful and qadir. Inna Allah ala kulli shay'in qadir. So He is all powerful, He is not ajz, and He is not weak, so He can achieve anything He wants, and there is no weakness in Him. So the third possible reason for doing a zulm and oppression and injustice is also not available in Allah. The fourth possible reason is desires, self-desires, and hawa nafs, and ahwa, khudkhahi, the desires and wishes, which are also not available for Allah. Because Allah is someone, Allah is already, kama al-kamal al-mutlaq, absolute perfection. He has every perfect attribute already available. So there is no need for any. He doesn't have no desire. So the fourth possible reason for doing a zulm or injustice is also not available for Allah. And since, so we have proven up till now that from the second evidence that every kabih action is, every bad action is zulm and injustice, and there are four possible reasons for anyone to do zulm and injustice, and none of those four are acceptable for God, acceptable to be available in God. Now, seeking after talking about these two evidences based on intellect and logic, let's come to seek help from the Holy Quran about the same. We have several verses in the Holy Quran that inform us about the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not perform any zulm and injustice. This verse from Surah An-Nisa, verse number 40, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَظْلِمُ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ. Allah wrongs not even the weight of an atom. In the second verse from Surah Yunus, verse number 44, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَظْلِمُ النَّاسَ شَيْئًا وَلَكِنْ النَّاسَ أَنفُسَهُمْ يَظْلِمُونَ. Allah does not do zulm on the people, but the people do zulm on themselves. So, in the third verse from Surah An-Nahl, verse number 90, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ وَإِيتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَيَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ وَالْبَغِي. Allah adjoins the adl, you know, Allah commands to do, you know, to do adl and ihsan, and giving, in other words, giving help to the kith and kin, and forbids the evil deeds and the prohibited and the oppression. So Allah forbids oppression. How can it be possible that Allah, who forbids the oppression, can himself perform oppression or accept oppression from us? The fourth and the last verse in this discussion right now is from Surah Al-Baqarah, verse number 279, where Allah has given us a very beautiful formula and rule. لَا تَظْلِمُونَ وَلَا تُظْلَمُونَ. Don't do the oppression and don't get oppressed. Don't allow someone to oppress you. It's a very beautiful phenomena which every human actually should remember. You know, that's the beauty of Islam, that Islam condemns oppression and does not even allow a person, a human being, to accept the oppression and let the oppression go and let the oppression go unnoticed and allow anybody to do oppression, because that's also a support to oppression in one way. So that's about the first point. We are done with the first point by now, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not perform any kabih action, any kabih thing. And the second segment of our lesson today is about taklifu ma la yutaq, is kabih and muhal about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's impossible to accept for Allah that He obliges us to do anything which is out of our reach, out of our ability, out of our power. So Allah never obliges us to do anything which is out of our reach and ability, anything which we are unable to perform, anything which we are unable to do. He never obliges us, because that would be kabih and bad. And we already know by now that God never performs any kabih or bad thing. Obliging the people to do something which they are unable to perform is kabih and bad. So Allah never obliges the people to do anything which they are unable to perform. He only obliges the people to do things which they are able to perform. So we do not have any taklif of about ma la yutaq, taklif about things that we are unable to do. All the duties in Islam which Allah has obliged us to perform, we are able to perform those duties. If we were unable, Allah would never oblige us, because because obliging us to do something which we are unable is qabih and bad. And we already have learned that Allah never performs anything which is qabih and bad. So, tatweefu ma la yutaq is muhal in Islam because Allah is adil and just. And Allah does not perform any zulm. And He condemns the zulm. وَلَا يَظْلِمُ رَبُّكَ أَحَدًا In Surah Al-Kahf, verse number 49, Allah has said, Your Lord does not do zulm on anyone. And the punishments that arrive, whether in the dunya, in this world, or in the hereafter, in the akhirat, the punishments of Allah that arrive, they are all because of our bad beliefs and bad actions that we have performed, which translate into the zulm and injustice that we do on our own selves. So all the punishments of Allah that arrived in this world and in the hereafter are because of the bad beliefs and bad actions, which are zulm and injustice and oppression done by the humans themselves upon themselves. So we are the cause of the punishments that arrive. فَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيَظْلِمَهُمْ وَلَكِنْ فَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيَظْلِمَهُمْ وَلَكِنْ كَانُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ يَظْلِمُونَ In Surah At-Tawbah, verse number 70, Allah has informed us that Allah does not perform zulm and injustice on them. Instead, they themselves do injustice on themselves, in other words. So, there's no creation. There is no creation which is oppressed by God. God does not oppress. God does not do injustice. None of His creatures are oppressed by Allah. If there is any kind of oppression found in the entire creation, it's done by the humans. It's done by the humans or the jinns. There is no oppression done by God on any creature. وَمَا اللَّهُ يُرِيدُ ظُلْمًا لِلْعَالَمِينَ So Allah wills no injustice to all that exists, to the alameen. Allah does not do no injustice to any of His creatures, to any of the existences. Not just the humans, to any of the existences. Allah does not perform no zulm. And obliging us to do something which we are unable is zulm. So Allah never obliges us. So these verses of Holy Quran that I just recited before you are emphasizing on the same point that, you know, our intellect has already guided us towards the same point that, of course, Allah does not perform injustice and zulm. So that's why we believe that taklifu ma la yutaq, obliging us to do things which we are unable, is muhal and unacceptable and impossible, because obliging someone to do anything which is unable is zulm and oppression, and Allah does not do any zulm and oppression. So, and Allah has clearly mentioned that fact in the Holy Quran in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse number 286, لا يكلف الله نفسا illa wus'aha. God does not burden a person beyond his scope. God does not burden a person beyond his scope. So we understand that all what is found in the list of the duties that we have in the Islamic Sharia, sent down by Allah in His revelations and different prophets and different messengers, anything and everything that Allah has obliged us to perform is nothing but in our reach, nothing but according to adl and justice, nothing but what is beneficial for us, He doesn't have no benefit from it. He does not stand in need of any benefit. He is above and beyond, you know, doing things for his own benefit, because he does not require any benefit from anything. He is already perfect, and al-kamal al-mutlaq, absolute perfection. And absolute perfection does not require anything. And he does not do zulm either, because none of the four possible causes of zulm are available and acceptable about him. And he does not oblige the humankind or anyone to do anything, the humankind or the jinns, to perform anything which is out of their reach and scope, because obliging that will be zulm and injustice, and Allah does not perform zulm and injustice on anybody. وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله الطاهرين. If you have questions, you are free to ask.
Thank you for the lecture. As you mentioned, you know, it's in Islam it says لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها, that God does not put somebody a burden more than what he can do or beyond his scope. But many times, you know, it comes like for one person may say that, you know, this is in his scope. For the same thing, let's say if you have five people, and for some it will be beyond their scope, but for others it will be in their scope, and it's the same thing. How would you approach that thing?
Walaikum As-Salaam. Yes, I would like to request you, if you can please give me an example to be very, you know, specific and precise, so that I may understand exactly what you mean. And because in Islam, the duties which are which we are obliged to perform, that's for sure, they are all in our reach and in our ability to perform. If any, if a situation happens for any human at any time that he is totally unable to do something, he will not be obliged. He is obliged as long as he is able to do the duty. Yes, there may be certain other rulings that may apply in regarding him because of that case, but the bottom line is that a duty which we are obliged to perform is always in our reach. That is why we are obliged. If it is not in our reach, we are not obliged. We cannot be obliged. That's the bottom line. Yes, I can explain to you in more detail, I think, if you can be specific about some examples that you have in your mind, so that I can make it clear for you.
Okay, let me quote you an example. Let's say we are living in the West, and you come across so many people, you know, they come with lame excuses that, you know, the Islamic Sharia is too strict, they cannot follow. At the same time, you have other people living in the same area under the same circumstances, and they are, you know, they follow the rules. So, I hope you understand my question.
Yes, generally speaking, I think like you yourself mentioned, there, in a lot of cases there are lame excuses. If there is a genuine excuse, Islam respects our genuine excuses, al-udhr al-muwajjah, any excuse which has an Islamic tawjih and has an Islamic justification, any excuse which is justifiable is respected in Islam. And there are rulings Like in Islam, we have al-hukm al-awwali, the initial and primary ruling, and then we have al-hukm al-thanawi, the secondary ruling that applies in the case of the person who is unable to perform the primary ruling. So Islam is so compatible that is ready to respond positively according to the needs and the constantly changing, ever-changing needs of the human society from time to time, from place to place. But at a given period of time, whenever a human is obliged to do something by the Sharia, he must understand that he is able to do. That's why he's obliged. Like the example you gave, in so many cases, there are people who are trying to find conveniences, and as soon as they find hassles, they try to, you know, find a way out to break away from those hassles, because it causes certain hassles to do obediences. So those hassles are there. They cannot translate into the fact that person is unable to do. He has the ability, but he has to do certain, he has to bear certain hassles for doing that. Yes, there are a lot of hassles. There are hassles. I think there are hassles for everything we want to achieve in our life, even if we want to, you know, do things which are not permitted in Islam. God forbid a person learns how to sing. There's a lot of hassles. It's not easy to learn how to sing or how to be a musician. There are a lot of hassles that a person has to go through, a lot of exercises and training and classes and effort. Everything has hassles, and that's the nature of this world. When you want to achieve something, it has hassles. If a woman wants to do hijab, yes, there are hassles. If we want to give out khums, there is a hassle and trouble. We have to give away a certain amount of money that we have, that we own. We have to give it, then it's an obligation. If you want to wake up for the Fajr prayers, there is a hassle. Yes. So there are hassles, but again, those hassles were within our reach. They were bearable and tolerable and within the reach of tolerance. That is why we were obliged. If any hassle is out of our tolerance reach, Allah will never oblige us to do so. Otherwise, He would be zalim and unjust, and He can never do zulm. So anything that we find in Islam which is in our reach is always in our, anything which is an obligation is always in our reach. And the bottom line, the people and in all times and all places are supposed to decide precisely what is their duty and obligation. And don't make mistakes in deciding their duty towards Allah. Once they decide this is our duty and obligation from God's behalf, that duty has to be done. And that duty, they should realize, is always in their reach and bound and limitations and abilities, because otherwise it would never be their duty. And there will be another duty coming after it if they fail to have ability to perform it. Like if we are unable to do wuzu, we are not obliged to do wuzu because we are unable. Let's suppose water is harmful, so that we are unable to do wuzu because it's harmful. Allah does not want harm, significant harm coming in our way. So in that case, it's not our obligation to do the wuzu. Our obligation in that case is tayammum. So maybe somebody believes that, well, if I do wuzu, why Allah has obliged me to do wuzu? Because it was harmful for me. Well, it was not your obligation in that case. Then you made a mistake in determining your duty from Allah. So again, that will be our fault if we make a mistake in determining our obligation. So the human should determine his obligation correctly and precisely in that specific time, that specific place, what exactly is his obligation from God. But once he makes sure that this is precisely his obligation, he must realize it is always in his ability and reach. That is why it is his application. Otherwise, it can never be his application.